Is there anything really significant? So, question for thought. In wearing clothing that, let's call it, that that identifies a person as a Ben Torah. How's that for a broad question? Politically correct. I didn't say any specific article. But is there anything really substantial, significant about it, important about it, of wearing clothing that identifies that particular individual as a Ben Torah? Is clothing personal or is it public? Does it make a difference if I'm in the house, who I'm with, out of the house, or not? Or as somebody asked me, is there anything wrong with wearing a, just starting with a striped shirt? So, I think as follows. We can just take the question one step further. Is clothing objective or subjective? Is it made up? Is it real? Or is it just a fake? Right, we can look at the question. It's a question that really bothers us in many different areas. Am I a better person or worse person based upon the clothing I wear? Can I have, like, red jeans, let's say, in the street? Does that make me... doesn't make me any less me, does it? I don't think it does. So then what's wrong with it? I could be a perfect Shomer Torah Mitzvah, I could be a Lamed and a Masmid, a Yerushalayim, and wear maybe clothing that doesn't show the best of what doesn't take away from me. I'm going to ask another question. That's why I was looking around, because the question this is pertinent to, and a lot of the boys that it's pertinent to, just happen not to be here. Question. Assuming, which is wrong, it's a wrong assumption. What I'm saying right now as a premise is wrong, but just not to argument's sake, because I'm not in the mood to get into the argument about it. Assuming that there is no strong basis in halacha for wearing a hat during davening. I say strong because there's a very strong basis for wearing a hat during halacha. But assuming there wouldn't be, so then why should I? So if I personally feel that there's no real basis, strong basis, and I argue on all, you know, the place, you know, or I argue on all the rabbanim and all the representatives. Okay. Yeah. I guess you have a personal right. So, why should I? I think as follows. You missed your question. The Gemara says, "Kol Adam sheyesh lo tzitzis bevigdai." Every person has tzitzis on his beged. Mezuzah beveisai. There's a tefillah aleishai. He has tefillah on his head, and he has mezuzah aleishai. And he has a mezuzah at the door, the entrance to his home, is muftach lai, is guaranteed, shlo yechta, that he won't sin. That's an interesting guarantee. The person has tzitzis, he has tefillin, and a mezuzah, he's not sinning. What does that mean? What does it mean, muftach lai, is guaranteed? So, first of all, I personally do know. Right? There are people who have mezuzahs on their homes. and they wear tefillin, and they wear tzitzis, and they do so. So I think, just a pshat in the Gemara, and because of this kasha, by the way, we all have this kasha on these Gemaras. And I think because of this kasha, psychologically, a lot of us just don't pay attention to these Gemaras, because yeah, right. You know, alright, take it with a grain of salt. So some people take it with a grain of salt, some people take it with 100 grains of salt. Some people take it with a whole pound of salt. But it's not true. Muftach, I don't think the proper definition all over of muftach means guaranteed. Or promise, like luftayach means promise. I think it means, muftach means it's a, there's a security over here. Your bitachon is insurance. Right? A security is also bitachon. His muftach, he has, he's secure. Muftach, though. There's a security area over here. Shlo yechta, that he won't sin. In other words, there's a, it's a protection. It's not a guarantee. It's a protection that a person won't sin. Okay? The question is, what's the protection? And the answer is, I think, as follows. It's exactly what we said on Shalosh Shabbos. A person, Eliezer of Avram, as you mentioned, when he's in the Mechitza, when he's in the same Dalanas, when he's in the environment of Avraham Avinu, he becomes a spitting image of Avraham Avinu. To the point we saw the Chazal, that he looks like Avraham Avinu. To the point that he's a shadow the whole Avraham, that he controls every organ of his, just like Avraham Avinu. He's Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu felt that's only when he's in his Mechitza, in front of him. Let him go out into a different land, and he's not protected. He can become the horror again. He becomes the curse. So, but he didn't. So we saw the Yalkut Shemani, it's also Pirkei Avot. Because even when he went out of the Mechitza of Avraham, he was attached to Avraham. Right? Eved, he was an Eved of Avraham, even outside of Avraham's Mechitza. It's a very important insight. In other words, I can go far out, but as long as I retain my identity, I'm attached, I'm part of. So then, I'm still in that broad sense in the area that I'm in. And that's the only way to matzliach in life today. As we said, that, you know, there's yeshiva, yeshiva is yeshiva, so to say, outside yeshiva. Call it this way, the yeshiva broadens itself. The Beis HaMedrash, there's a term, there's a class without walls. It's a famous term in education. A class without walls. There's a school with walls, and there's a school outside of the walls. A lot of people's education in this world is by experience, life experiences. That's an education, a class that has no walls. There's the yeshiva, the Beis HaMedrash has walls, but as you go out, so it's the wallless yeshiva, the wallless Beis HaMedrash. I'm still connected. I'm still part of it. I'm just not in this building. And that is the only way, I believe, for a person today to be secure in the world. So Chazal are telling us the same idea. Kol mi sheyesh lo tzitzis levigdoi. He's wearing tzitzis. What does he mean wearing tzitzis levigdoi? He's cognizant. He sees it. Re'isa ma'isai. Who's a character is called mitzis Hashem. He sees the tzitzis. And he's mindful at that point who he is and what he's obligated to do. Who's a character is called mitzis Vasisa ma'isai. It's going to motivate him to observe the mitzvahs. So he has a protection, he has a security. He has a we call a virtual wall around himself right now. The virtual wall in the wallless area to remind him that I'm still part of it. He has still an arisha where it says the shkin is shimmer on him, on his hands, it's kaddish, on his head. He's mindful of it. He's supposed to be mindful of it. To my knowledge, and I can't correct him because I never was there, but some people could correct me. And you surely heard, to my knowledge, I never heard of anyone caught in a movie theater wearing tefillin. I see nobody disagrees. To the point, can't say never. I never, this I can also say, I never heard of somebody caught in an inappropriate place. Any inappropriate place. Call it a movie theater, call it a pool hall, we call it anything else, and it's inappropriate. Wearing a talis gadol over his head. When was the last time you saw somebody wearing talis and tefillin shooting pool? Yes, it could be some people were wearing tzitzis, but tucked in, for sure. They used to say they used to go to inappropriate places to tuck in the tzitzis. Why? That's exactly the reason why. So they'll tell you because they don't want to make a chil Hashem. Yeah, it's like a tzitzis. I'm going to a movie that I'm not supposed to, so what do? As I walk, I tuck in the tzitzis. Therefore, I'm making a kiddush Hashem and not a chil Hashem, and I feel good about myself. It's a wonderful justification. By the way, that's not the reason why they're doing it. He's not worried about chil and kiddush Hashem, trust me. The reason why he's doing it is because he's not going to enjoy being there with the tzitzis because it's a contradiction. You know, it's really a contradiction to himself. He can't deal with it. So of course, the best thing, hide it. I don't see it. I'm not aware of it. There's no re'isim, my son. There's no zechartim. And of course, there's no vasisim. It goes very well. So he's putting it in, nothing to do with kiddush and chil Hashem, purely for his own ability to do something wrong. Think about it, you'll agree with me. So, and a mezuzah of a beis hayin. Now, obviously, the mezuzah doesn't go with you. But if you're in your room, try it. Yeah, and you're tempted to do anything that's not proper. Pick your eyes up and look at the mezuzah. And think about it. Think about what it says in the mezuzah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The first parsha of Kriyat Shema. You shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, even your Yetzirah. B'chol Nafshecha, he takes away your life. B'chol Modecha, with all your money. And you're not allowed, you have to be mechuyev to give up all your money in order not to transgress the law. And you think about the whole thing. And then it's the second parsha, Hayu Shamaya. Schar for the mitzvahs and the punishment and the real punishment that it says over there for the Averis. It's great. And just look at that and focus on the parsha. The odds are you'll do one of two things. Either you'll go into a different room without interest. Or you will work extremely hard not to be conscious of that mezuzah anymore, because you won't be able to deal with it, seeing the mezuzah and thinking of it. You're doing very well to deny the mezuzah, or you won't do that there. It's a security. Again, it's a virtual wall. Because all these things create a mind frame, a frame of mind, and puts you in a different place, connects you with Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as you mizdavek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very hard to sit. We always try this. If you try it now, sometimes people have they're lacking, you know, they're not so miserly, they're not so meticulous in the way they talk, they curse, they use improper words, you know. They're too lenient on it. You know that if you saw at that point, while you're talking, a microphone, and the microphone's blasting those words to your parents, it's bugged, you probably wouldn't do it because you'd be heard. But you don't see the microphone. If you knew there was a microphone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you wouldn't do it. If you knew, think about this. When was the last time you saw somebody use Divul Peh or do an Avera in front of a Sefer Torah lying on the table? And he's aware that the Sefer Torah is there. He opens the Sefer Torah, sees it there, and does an Avera. Or even uses vulgar language instead of language of Kedusha. I never saw it. People are miserable, they're meticulous. In fact, they're careful. Careful what to touch, what not to touch. Careful what they say, careful to be quiet. They kiss it with dignity. It's Kedusha. It's Kedusha. Mezuzah, written on cloth. A parasha from the Sefer Torah. That what? That you take the parish of Chumash, you take a part, you snip out from the Sefer Torah, a part of the Sefer Torah, and that's your mezuzah. You snip out a parish, uchsharta. You snip out a parish from the Sefer Torah, and you lay it to rest on your head, in your arm. And that's tefillin. The Sefer Torah is not munach b'fanecha, it's on you. It's in your house, it's in your door. It has a mantle, so it has a mezuzah cover. It's all it is a mantle. What's the bottom? It's a mantle, it's part of the Kedusha. But when you're aware of that, and your avodah is to become aware of that, I want to tell you, it's difficult to sit. It really is. You have to really blind yourself from it. You have to deny it and justify it. And that's exactly, I think, it's exactly what we said over Shalosh Shuras on Shabbos. That the minute you're detached from the yeshiva environment, you're like Eliezer and the Avram. You become a choshen, I call it a very shiva term, because nothing is stopping. But if you keep the mindful of the sacred Torah in front of you, and it is, tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, it's a security shel yechta. I think that even if there wouldn't be a mucker for a certain type of clothing, mysterious, even if there wouldn't be a strong enough mucker for a certain type of clothing by tefillah, which there is, and you wouldn't have to, but one thing you do know, it identifies you. And that's probably the reason why a lot of us don't want to do it.
because it's identity. So it identifies you. So the extent that it identifies you, it protects you. So when you talk about clothing of a Ben Torah, stop using the word identity. Start using the word protection. It becomes your virtual wall. Because you start to see yourself in a certain light. You start to judge yourself in a certain way. And that protects you. The Gemara in Kedushin says that a person has an overwhelming urge to do an Avera. And he can't help himself. So the Gemara says, what do you do? So the Gemara says, Yilba Shechayri. You should wear a certain type of clothes. Well, does it make a difference what type of clothes I wear? And then you go someplace else, and then if you have to do it, you do it. Tell me something. Does it make a difference which clothing I wear? You want to tell me don't do it publicly? Don't do it publicly. You want to tell me you'll do every effort to refrain and restrain? Yes. But does it make a difference which clothing I wear? It has to be shire, it has to be black clothing? This is sure it does. It really does, because the Gemara is not telling you right away, go sin and wear these clothing. The Gemara says, wear these clothing. And what clothing are they? You know what the concept of black clothing are? Dark clothing? It's, you're not loud. It's modest. It's not projecting. It's not immodest. It's quiet. It's lahachna, you're humbled. You're almost in black, you can't see anything. When something's covered in black, you can't see it. When something is light, it shines. It means wear something that's gonna humble you, identify you in a certain way. Wear something that's gonna make you a little more modest, will connect you. Wear something that you relate to other people who are Talmidei Chachamim with their levush is black. Interesting. If I were to paraphrase the Gemara in modern terms, I would say, if you have this crazy urge, an overwhelming urge to do an Avera, wear clothing of a Ben Torah, black clothing. And then go outside and travel and see what happens. And maybe by then you won't do that. If not, you didn't. But you see that Gemara, the clothing makes the difference. Because it identifies you outside the yeshiva. As part of the yeshiva, as part of the Torah. The tragedy is that in the world, too many people inside yeshiva wear clothing that's befitting for a Ben Torah. Outside yeshiva, they change it. I'm going to say it this way. Exactly where they don't need to wear the proper clothing, it's not as important, they wear it. Because in the yeshiva, you're protected anyway. Doesn't mean anyone will be going with jeans tomorrow. In yeshiva, you're protected anyway. But where they need to wear it, they don't wear it. That's a fool. It's a real fool. If you have an issue, it should be the other way around. Outside, the further you go out, the more protected you have to be. It's almost like a guy who wears a coat indoors and doesn't wear the coat outdoors. You know, his mother tells him, it's freezing today. So in the house, in front of his mother, he wears the coat in the house with his heat. But when he gets out from his mother's view, in the freezing cold, he takes off the coat. You institutionalize people like that. It's the same thing in terms of clothing of a Ben Torah. It really is. So then come and say, so why wear one in yeshiva also? That's many reasons. But one reason that you could deal with is chinuch. It's training you, making you comfortable with it. In order that, for the ikka, that you should wear it and live with it your whole lives. It's just a lot of food for thought. And I ask everyone to think about it.